Okay, here we are. Parshas Toldos, and Toldos means to Lodos, offspring, legacy, future. The future of the Jewish people is being formed in this parsha, and it's being formed with very clear boundaries and guidelines as to what our destiny, what our legacy, what our mission in this world is, in contrast to Esav, who chose the opposite of what we're all about. And at the beginning of the parsha, we read, fascinating, the birth of Yaakov and Esav, and immediately, as they grew up, Vayigdulu Hanaorim, they're already bar mitzvah, and we find how they choose for themselves opposite pathways. The Torah describes Esav as the Ish Yodea Tzayed Ish Sodeh. He engages the world at large. He's going out there. He's enjoying the world, capturing, becoming a titan of the industry. He's out there. And Yaakov is the Ishtam, simple person, Yoshev Olam, is dwelling in the tents of Torah. The Ishtam, Kiliboy Kein Piv. He's genuine, he's real. His mouth reflects precisely what's in his heart. Direct contrast, Yaakov and Esav. Esav is born, Kaderes Seir, with a cloak of hair, complete, whole. And Yaakov is described, he's born holding on to the Akev of Esav. V'yodo echezes ba'akev Esav, is holding on to the heel of Esav. And we understand every word the Torah tells us carries layers and layers of deeper meaning and inference and practical application for us, for all future generations. And then the Torah introduces us to the scene of the Patira, the death of Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak is about to sit in mourning. Avraham was just buried. And Yaakov is preparing an Azid Adashim. He's preparing a lentil soup, a Sudas Havra'ah, for the Ovel, a meal that is traditionally served till today when the mourners come back from the Beis HaChaim, from the cemetery, place of eternal life. And Esav walks in from the field. He's tired. The Torah describes him as oyef, exhausted. He'd put in a full day's work. And as Chazal tell us, and it's all implied, you read in the Psukim, it's all in a hidden way, merumas, alluded to in the Torah. Esav has committed heinous crimes on that day. He made a choice. Avraham Avinu has died. The spiritual world is fading, and I'm going to engage and embrace the material world. He was Ba'al Nara Maras, he committed adultery, he killed Nimrod, Shvichas Domim, and he was Kofa Be'ikit, Yinayit Hashem. And the Torah, the Chazal tell us he was Kofa Be'tchias HaMesim. He was denying the resurrection of the dead. And he says to Yaakov, Haliteini nomin ha'odam ha'odam azeh. Pour down this red soup. Every word in the Torah we have to decipher and crack a little bit more the meaning. What does it mean? He says, pour down into my throat, I'm tired, this red soup. Double expression. There's meaning there. And Yaakov says, okay, let's do a little business. Sell me like the day, with absolute clarity. No backseats. Don't tell me afterwards that you were coerced. Sell me your Bechora, your firstborn, and then I'll do it. And Esav says, well, hine anochi hoilach lamos. I'm going to die anyway. I'm not interested in the next world. There is no next world. I don't need the next world. Lamos eli Bechora. And he sells him the Bechora, and the Torah describes how Esav eats and drinks. Vayokom, he gets up, vayelech, and he walks out, slams the door, vayivez Esav as a b'chora, he despises the b'chora. And the many questions that spring to mind in this little introduction to the lives of Yaakov and Esav, but we have to understand something very essential. It would seem Yaakov is the Ishtam Yoshev HaHolam. Why is he exploiting Esav's vulnerability at this particular moment? He sees Esav is very tired. It's a very emotionally laden time. It's a very special time. Avraham just passed away. Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak is sitting Shiva. You know what? He wants some hot soup. Give him the stupid soup. What do you have to exploit him now and just start getting into business dealings? You see, he's vulnerable. Okay, I'm going to take your b'chara. Let's make a real sale. Michra kayoim. Doesn't seem to reflect so well on Yaakov, from a very superficial level, of course. We have to understand, on a very basic level, what the role of the Bechora was really destined to be. Yitzchak loved Esav. Ki tzayid befiv. Esav had a very important role to play. You know, there's a partnership in this world between the material and the spiritual. Sheshes yomim ta'avoid. 6 days of the week thou shalt work. Ubashvi. Shabbos Hashem Elokecha. That's when we connect. Where all the work that we've done, you know, in the material world, we dig for oil. You have to drill and drill and drill. And then finally we find oil. We've found the goods. We dig for diamonds, dig and dig and dig, excavate, penetrate the earth's surface, and then we extract the diamonds and polish them. And so it is in the spiritual world. First, it requires preparation, penetrating the shell of the material, working through 6 days of the week, we shall work. We have to see a world which is concealing Hashem's presence. It's an olam, it's ne'elam. It's hidden. Hashem's presence is hidden. We don't see it, we don't feel it, and we have to work blind faith. Sometimes we're flying solo. It's difficult. And here we are engaging the workplace and believing and trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emuna, bitochein, sheshes yomim ta'avod, working with integrity, battling all kinds of desires, jealousies, lusts that are right there in the marketplace. And misha torch be'erev Shabbos, if we work on erev Shabbos, Chazal promises, yochel b'Shabbos, we eat on Shabbos. We work in this world, we live in spiritual bliss in the next world. We dig for oil. We want to get the oil. We get the oil. We get the goods. We get the diamonds, and we can polish them. It's a process. It's a partnership. First, we have to work, and then we can connect. And the partnership, the Bechor, the one who goes first, the firstborn, was the one who's going to go out and take the more difficult and challenging role of engaging the physical world, engaging the material world. He was the Ish Yodea Tzayed Esav, that was his role, Ish Sodeh, to go out into the field of life. And it was a continuum of Yitzchak's avoda, his strength, his gvura, his discipline, all the tools that are necessary to engage the world. Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. He was a man of the field. He was able to connect to God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the field, in the workplace, in the marketplace. We find the little vignettes, the little glimpses of Yitzchak's life, how he dug wells, and Vayizra Bashona, how he plowed the earth in order to bring out Me'er Sha'arim, God's blessings. Esav was to assume that role. Yaakov was the one who was going to deposit the check in the bank. He was the one who was supposed to take all the bounty and goodness of that material goods and channel it and connect it. But there was partnership. He was the Ishtam Yoshev HaHolim. He would connect to the Pnimius. He was living in the world of Shabbos. But that partnership had to be forged together as twins, Yaakov and Esav. V'yoda uchezes ba'kev Esav. Yaakov is holding on to the Ekev of Esav. He's following on directly after Esav has broken through the earth's shell, has penetrated and worked through the 6 days of the week. Yaakov was going to connect it all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But unfortunately, Esav, as we see in the Parsha, became distracted. He went off course. He saw the external, the glitter, the excitement, the stimulation of the senses that one experiences, that one could experience if one's not focused on the end goal, the end goal. And Esav embraced the material world. And there's always hope. A person can always redirect, the GPS always redirects, but there was one point of no return. It's the day of Avraham Avinu's death. There's a moment in life where clarity always surfaces. It's when we're facing the inevitable. There are no atheists in a foxhole. But if in the foxhole, when a person is facing death, he's still the atheist, then it's all over. Then there's no hope. It was this day and this moment when Esav comes in from the field in his oyef that Yaakov recognized and realized that he has to assume Esav's role. Esav comes in from the field in his oyef and he says, "Pour me in, ha'odim ha'odim azeh." Esav sees the superficial, he sees the external, it's red, it's glittering, it's glamour, it's exciting. It's delightful. Pour it down me. Give me the stimulation, the entertainment. Schoik lefonai, rukoid lefonai. Just pour it down my throat. And Yaakov says, if that's your choice, then michrokayomes b'chiras chali. And Esav gladly gave Yaakov. Now Yaakov was going to have to go out into the material world, take the blessings from his father of the material world, and penetrate the shell in the house of Lavan, where he's going to live in darkness. He's going to live and prepare for that in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. And even though he's going to be living so isolated from his Yosha V'Holim, he'll nevertheless, in Lavan, Garati, Batariak, Mitzvah Shemati, will keep the mitzvahs. The Torah in this first parasha describes the difference between the world at large, society at large, the world of Esav, the world of Edom, and the world of the Ish, Tam, Yoshev, Ahalim, of Yaakov. Beauty, they say, is in the eyes of the beholder. There's an external beauty and there's an internal beauty. We could look at the world with the Mabat, with the look of Esav, we see the external, ha'odim, ha'odim azeh, we could see the internal, the inner shine, the inner beauty. My brother told me, I was learning, this is going back about 30 years ago, I was learning in Lakewood, my brother went to visit, my older brother went to visit a Yid who was a lifetime sufferer of all different ailments. And he was always happy, always joyous, always freilich, zufrieden, always embracing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. His name was Rav Gedalia Zupnik. He was in the hospital, he had diabetes. And he suffered so badly, eventually they took off one foot and then they took off another foot and he was disfigured. He was very sick, very, very sick. My brother went to him a first day Chol HaMoed Pesach with a few other people. And he was lying in his hospital room. His wife was at his side. My brother told me, he said, he came in. He looked almost disfigured. He was all kinds of ailments, skin discoloration because of his sickness. And his wife told him, he said, you know, last night my husband insisted on eating the morah and he became sick. He was almost going to die. The nurses came running in. And his face shone. It was radiant. And he was so delighted to see them. And he said, Lama Zingan Anigan, it's Yontef! And they were dancing, holding his hands. And my brother said, I saw Olam Haba on his face. You know, he's one step away from the next world. His neshama shone. You know, from the window of the Armani store on Fifth Avenue, those appreciating all the external sheen and shine and glamour of this world couldn't appreciate such a scene. They couldn't see to the internal, the beauty, the goodness, the ruchnius, But we have to be able to see the internal Yidden. We see things from an entirely different vantage point. You know, everything in this world has an external look and an internal look. We're all caught up in the external. A car. What's the point of a car? Essentially, a car is to take us from point A to point B. That's its function. But form takes precedence over function. Sleek lines, design. Is it loaded? Fully loaded! We need to have the latest model! And we're always looking and conscious of exactly what kind of car the other guy's driving. Am I driving? What kind of clothes am I wearing? Clothes are there to shield and protect us from the elements. Clean, portray who we are on a basic level. But when it has to be that notch of designer clothing, there's an external ace of dimension to everything, and there's an internal dimension. And it all depends on our mabat. It all depends on, are we living in the world of Adam Adam Hazeh Halitani? What's in it for me? Pour it down my throat. I want to live, enjoy. And what it means is, if I want to live and enjoy and emphasize just the external shell, then I'm forgetting to connect it to the internal. The internal is eternity. It's the meaning, the purpose, the function. What is there to service, to connect me to my eternal mission in life, to connect this world to the next world? You know what the biggest plague of our generation is? It's the iPhone, the Galaxy phone, the Q phone. A couple of weeks ago, there was a tragic story somewhere out in the Midwest, I believe it was. There was a girl who committed suicide. She was a victim of cyberbullying. And, you know, like everybody out there is busy with social networking, and there are people that exploit. This was not any kind of form of molestation or exploitation, just bullying. She couldn't handle it. And of course it tells us how sad and how sick our society is, indulgent and so on, but there's a serious question that everybody was grappling with, like, why couldn't she just switch off the phone? Delete! I want to speak to you. You're a pain. Get out of my life. It's just a phone. And psychologists realized that besides everything else, the phone services a deep-seated desire, a need that we all crave for, validation. Bing! You have mail! I have mail. Someone is interested in me. You know what it's like? We all have this childish excitement when we're children and we get mail. Someone's thinking of me. Someone remembered my birthday. It happened to be Toys for Us, and they're sending me a $3 Jeffrey coupon to go and buy the toys. It doesn't matter, they mean them, but they mean me. They're sending me, it's addressed to me, and it's my name on the front of the card. The kids are jumping. We gotta go right now to Toys R Us and use the coupon. They gave it to me. This phone services, the ace of our world, the fantastic, those that understand the psychology of Aesop, it sucks us into a vortex, the external world, and it buries us alive. The phone services the whole panorama, the whole spread of lustings and cravings and desires of the body. We have instant access to the whole world. We're empowered. You flick, you go up and down and this way and that way. You press the button and it jumps at you. It's like, you know, the great viziers and sultans, that they just click their fingers and the servants come running. It's like all of a sudden every individual at the touch of their finger, all of a sudden the machine jumps to their command. You can actually be sitting in the comfort of your room and you've got all the video stimulation and excitement that every molecule of the external material body craves to connect to that external stimuli. And it's so sad. It's a world gone amok, buried alive. And our job is to say, what is the purpose of a phone? A phone is there just to connect two people. We need to also have certain conveniences. We want to be able to have email if necessary, we want to have text. But if we can't switch it off, if we can't disconnect, if it's controlling us, then we became Asavites. We've lost our bearings. We've lost the connection to the next world. Yaakov lives in a world, v'yitin l'cho elikim, mital ha-shamayim u'mishmani ha-aret, the dew of the heaven, the fat of the earth. There's a lot of beauty, a lot of external goodness in this world. Yaft elikim li'yefes v'yishkin ba'ar le'shem, the bracha to shame, the great-great-grandfather of Avraham Avinu, is there should be great beauty in the world. We can appreciate the external, but we see it only as v'yishkin ba'ar le'shem, to be able to extract the shechina, the internal, the ishtam yoshev ha'olam, the inner dimension, the purpose and the meaning of it. Otherwise, if we're just looking for external beauty, it sucks us in. It looks momentarily like we've gotten something, but it fades so fast. It's a dazzling array of fireworks. It's like Esav's life. Let me enjoy today, because hine anochi hoilech lomos. And so, for a pot of lentil soup, for a bag of lentils, he went nuts. From soup to nuts. So let's make sure that we, as best as we can, try and stay focused. Make sure that we understand we're here temporarily. This world is just a proizda, and we're given all the blessings and gifts of this world to use them as a medium and a reflection. See to penetrate to the internal, to use them for their real function. They're there to connect us to the Yom Shekulei Shabbos, the day that's all Shabbos.